And it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
For the last time in 2023, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tell the Damn Story, the podcast and YouTube show that talks to you about all things creative and all things writing, especially all our own foibles and mistakes, so that hopefully you won't have to make them. With us today, of course, is the legend, the co-anchor, the stabber of Albert Finney last week. It's the one and only writer and creator, Alex Simmons.
Hey there,
how are you, sir?
Hi there, how are you, sir? How are you?
Happy New Year.
The key word right there, new.
Might have been imbibing a little early. So there.
Yeah, we're approaching the new year. The new year, 2024, is on the horizon. Very close, as a matter of fact. And yes, I am Alex Simmons, and opposite me, with all his foibles and fables and talents and blessings, is the master of the pen and the master of the supportive editorial statement, Mr. Christopher Ryan. Right. Who is a writer, director, actor, writer predominantly, but also has directed film and has acted in film and on stage and all these other wonderful things that he's done that he keeps forgetting to mention. So I will mention them periodically just so that I remember. Chris, good to see you.
Thank you. And speaking of those, I know I don't mention them a lot, but in 2024, I'll be adding a new line to the resume. I was just offered a contract to be the production manager of an independent film that is shooting in April. Ooh, yeah. And that basically is you handle all the headaches. I'll be bolder after that, if that's possible.
If that's even possible.
But that's not a headache for today, ladies and gentlemen, and one that I am really interested in taking on. Today is about the things that lit us up, that inspired us, that impressed us, creative things that we'll remember having experienced in 2023. I say it that way because most of these things came out in 2023, not all of them. So we're being a little fast and loose with this. Mm. And we are not doing best of. We're doing favorite creative experiences. Isn't that right, sir?
You're here.
Are you ready to dive in? Did we cover?
Yes, you're leading this particular train.
This caravan,
yes.
So let's start with books, okay? Yes. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 books that I want to mention, okay? And I'll save my absolute favorite for last.
Ah, okay.
Okay. I've been doing, let's go, first of all, S.A. Cosby, All the Sinners Bleed, was an exceptional crime story and more. There was so much to that book. He's a great writer that just keeps getting better each book. So that was one of my favorite books, one of my favorite series, and one of the offerings, one of the volumes in the series came out this year, but didn't start technically this year. But it was a character called Kagan the Damned, who was created and written by Jonathan Mayberry. And I came across him in a short story in the Sword and Sorcery collection. And I just wanted to see if there was some more featuring Kagan the Damned. And I just absolutely swallowed the first novel called Kagan the Damned. And there are two more. I'm midway through the second one now. For those of you who liked Game of Thrones, but want to see if there was something that goes further, Kagan the Damned. Oh my God, does it go further? I recommended it to a reader friend of mine. And I saw him recently. He says, you weren't kidding about the Game of Thrones reference. I said, no, it's really well done. Brutal, bloody, outrageous, and high adventure at the same time. So a lot of fun there. I read a lot of horror this year. This is almost a cliche at this point. But if you're looking for collections of horror, so if you want to get your feet wet, or if you want to see what's a consistent example of great horror, look for anything and I mean anything, edited by Ellen Datlow. Her eye for great story is impeccable. And right now, I guess the most recent one was Christmas and Other Horrors. I read that one. That was great. And
It's an
I'm waiting
anthology.
for, yeah, it's an anthology. And she also does the Best of Horror anthologies. I'm waiting for the latest one to come out. It's going to be out early January.
How
But
do you
every
spell her
single
last
one of
name?
those, huh?
How do you spell her last name?
Ellen Datlow, Datlow. And each of those Best of Horror, or whatever the year is, it's like a grad course in great horror. So there you go. As far as novels are concerned, Mary San Giovanni put out Alien, Enemy of My Enemy. And I thought it was a really good and fresh twists to the Alien franchise. And I enjoy, I like Mary San Giovanni as a person. And I love her writing, but this was interesting to see her take on a franchise like that, and it was really well done. V. Castro also did an Alien book, which was great as well, so mention that. The most gorgeous book for me was 100 Years of Weird Book, which was an anniversary collection edited by Jonathan Mayberry, but the book is just beautiful. It's not really all that often that you get to just get stunned by a book, but this one is well worth taking a look at. Two more books. Even with all this horror, I gotta say, the scariest book I read this year was actually a nonfiction book called Oath and Honor by Liz Cheney. And it dealt with our recent DC political history and what it's doing to the country. She had a front row seat, and then she fell victim of disagreeing with certain people, and it cost her a seat in Congress. But she is very clear-eyed and offers, she names and quotes without flinching. And the result is, again, there's another book called Tired of Winning, which is a very well-researched and resourced book of the same era. Between those two, it really resonates in me in an unsettling way, because all of those things that went on and are still going on point towards my own book, which was supposed to be outlandish fiction, called The Simple Rebellion. And I just
Available on
hope,
Amazon, by the way.
that's right, I hope that we don't go there, finally. My absolute favorite book of 2023. So good that I read it and then I listened to it on audiobook twice.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay. Dennis Lehane's Small Mercies. That has a female protagonist, older woman, one of the greatest American characters I have read
Oh, yes, I
in the
remember
last
talking about
20,
this.
30 years. Man, Meryl Streep, if you're listening, go look. The girl who did Barbie, I forgot what her name is.
Yeah, don't rely on me for
Yeah.
that. I don't hold on to names.
She has a production company. Go read this book. You're too young for the role, but it's a great role for women. But it's also a riveting read. So that's my favorite. So that's what I'm going to say about books. And we'll turn it over to Alex and see what he has to say about books.
Chris is the avid reader. He consumes books like what, five a day? Is it something like that, Chris?
I tell you what, Glorious and my friend Roger Ross read far faster and accumulate far more books than I read, but I do love reading. Yeah.
I read certain things. I listen to certain books and things like that, but I'm more of a film person, but that's fine. So I only have a few. My Murder by Kate Williams
Okay.
was part of a reading list. I belong to a book club comprised of people I used to work with years ago and creating books and stories for other people. We've all gone our separate ways, but we stay in touch as friends and in this book club.
At the mega group?
Excuse me?
Is that the Mega Group?
Mega Mystery Book Group,
Yeah.
right?
I
So
think
we,
I got an invitation to that group and I
you didn't
fumbled
respond, and that's
it.
why they sent out the hound. So watch your
Yeah.
back.
My apologies, Megabooks. My apologies. I
Yeah.
have a phobia about book groups. I always feel like I can't keep up.
No, that's okay. You could just respond, but I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm not gonna say
Didn't
nothing.
even respond. I suck.
Yeah, you're not.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you know the truth. I suck.
Yeah, no, yeah, you didn't hear it from me. Okay.
I'm
Anyway,
sorry, Pat. I still love you.
Kate Williams is the author of this book, and this book was particularly interesting to me as a story. It was interesting to me. It's a mystery story, but as a story, it was interesting to me because the character is challenged, what our society would call emotionally or mentally challenged. And seeing this world and having this experience through that character's eyes was very fascinating. It's one thing when we write stories and we have a character who has some sort of a physical challenge or a mental challenge or emotional challenge, but we're writing from the outside. We're third person and we're watching that character do his or her thing. It's a whole nother thing when the lead character has this challenge and we're seeing the world through their experience. So that calls for, I think, some mastery in terms of storytelling. And really, as we've talked about for decades, getting to know your characters really well to the point of where they're telling you, no, this is how I would perceive this. This is how I would say this. This is where my limitations are. This is where I excel. So this is a good book for that. My Murder, written by Kate Williams. For something completely different, Make Noise. Because Chris and I here have this podcast. And again, I come from a long line of, or I should say I have a long line of experiences in communication. Back in my late teens, early 20s, I worked for CBS in the Air Control Center. So I was watching a lot of the broadcasts behind the scenes, as well as what was going out onto the air. And then over the years, as a performer, I've worked in film and television. And as a writer, I've worked in that realm as well. And it's always interesting to see how someone puts together a production, how they identify an audience, how they identify methodologies for speaking to an audience, how you, and again, as podcasters, we're always looking for, with or without our glasses, for ways to attract more people to the material that we're sharing, and to some degree, affirmation or validation. And Make Noise is a book by Eric Newsom. I hope I pronounced that Nuzum. And he's got this very eclectic experience coming from public radio into eventually producing and moving through the public radio world into producing for podcasts or being a coach for podcasters. And he really breaks down for me the power of broadcasting, the power of the word, whether it's being served up by professional writers and professional reporters and professional commentators, or it's Joe and Jane or Shaniqua and Jameel getting on a microphone and talking from the heart and the head. The power of words and the power of finding your community, your niche group, and speaking to them and sharing what I hope most of us strive for is truth, as opposed to some of the
Other
manure.
stuff going on.
Yeah, some of the manure that is shared more rapidly and definitely unrefined because people have access to this. That's a good book for thought.
I will back Alex up. He assigned me that book this year. I read that book as well. Yep. Nicely done. What else you got there, buddy?
Got one more Black Panther, Tales of Wakanda.
Yes.
Now, A, I have a story in it. So definitely when my copy came through, I read my story because I wanted to see what I wrote. But there's 17 other stories in there written by men, women, you name it, all African American or all of the darker persuasion. And we all know, or I should say, all of us who are exposed to the Black Panther character, Wakanda, Marvel Comics in that realm, have our perceptions of Wakanda and the technology and the philosophies and the cultural aspects of it. Everyone's can come to some decisions about what they think it is. It is fascinating to see what happens when 18 different writers take on a theme, in this case, Wakanda. And the citizens of Wakanda, not just the Black Panther, but the citizens of Wakanda. So there are 18 different stories in there that they're not all about the Black Panther. They're not all about Wakanda and Africa, even. There's this one story about an extension that developed in the United States and remained hidden from prying eyes, and suddenly how that was discovered. It's fascinating to see where the mind can go with something that's inspiring, with a concept that is not fully plumbed until you turn loose a group of creatives who want to go, ooh, what can I do? And what can I discover? And what can I find? Oh, this is fascinating. Can I work on this? I can. Great. And that I take my hat off to our editor, who also is the spearhead of the whole project, Jesse Holland, who's a journalist and a professor and a writer of his own merit. Phenomenal guy, really great human being. But he pulled this project together, and you have some great names, myself not included, some great names in this book, some great writers who have come together for a common good, which was to explore this magnificent concept and to extend it to a world which, I will say in my final remark, as we are facing so much of book banning and narrowing of the minds in terms of what is out there regarding people of color or people of different backgrounds, religions, and so forth, I would say the greater excitement, the greater journey, the greater treasure is going in the opposite direction. And this is one of those books that sort of teases at the possibilities.
I would say that we have interviewed Jesse Holland in a previous Tell the Damn Story. And I would also say that Alex Simmons is one of those esteemed writers included in it. Oh, enough of that. All right. So there's some books if you're looking for something to read between
Yeah.
Alex and I. Hopefully, you have some ideas now. With your permission, Alex.
Oh, absolutely, sir. Go forth and be brilliant.
I'm going to go to music. I have to actually have to shout out a radio station. There's a radio station that it comes out of Rockland County, but it serves above New York City, those counties, some of New Jersey, some of Long Island, and it's called 107.1 FM, The Peak. And in search of a radio station that didn't play just like 25 songs from the 1970s, I was wandering around and I hit upon this. It was such a stroke of luck because it was a DJ whose name I remembered from the olden days. And over the years, this turned out to be a radio station I could put on in the background while I write. I don't often, there's not a lot that I can have on while I'm writing, but this is just such a new funk. But this year, I started tuning in to the new music they were playing as well. They do a beautiful mix and a thoughtful mix of older rock and soul and newer soul and whatever you would call the new, it's hard to call it rock anymore, but it's a new popular music. And I have a couple of those, and then surprising geriatrics who returned. I really got to listen to a number of tracks from a band called Inhaler, and they sounded very familiar until one of the DJs mentioned that the singer we were listening to is the son of U2 singer Bono. So
Oh.
yeah, Inhaler is a really good group with a lot of potential, and they sound great. And then there's two other, and people might have known these bands for years, but this geezer is finding them out in 2023. Last Dinner Party is a new band to me with a lot, just a lot of interesting music and interesting lyrics. Same goes for Boy Genius. So there was three new bands that I heard just from this radio station. And then they started playing the first single from what turned out to be a surprisingly strong album. The first single was called Angry, and the album was called Hackney Diamond, Diamonds.
Hackney.
Hackneyed Diamonds.
Okay.
And in England, hackneyed diamonds are when there's a fight going on and you smash a windshield and all the glass falls on the street.
Oh,
Those are
okay.
hackneyed diamonds, all right? Broken down diamonds. And the band are the Rolling Stones, who are in their late 70s and 80s now, and they put out a really vibrant album. It was such a hoot. I couldn't believe, yeah, Angry is a great pop song. Sweet Sounds of Heaven sounds like it could have been lifted off Exile on Main Street. It's got a great like backing vocal duet style from Lady Gaga on that track. There's a lot of different people. Their old bass player Bill Wyman came back to do. There was one or two recordings that they had. Their old drummer Charlie had recorded before he passed. So they brought Bill to play on those. Paul McCartney plays on it. It's a whole bunch of different people, but mostly it's the Stones sounding like the Stones. And that gave this old writer a little shot in the arm. Say, oh, see, just be true to your art. Just make art, ladies and gentlemen. Just make art. And it was great. There was a great quote from Stephen King in a really solid book that he did called Holly, where he says, it's not about the money, it's not about the fame, it's about making art. And I agree. So there's some music for you. I don't know what you're going to answer as far as music is concerned.
Oh, well, that's because I don't either. No, I'll keep this very short. Music is its own, it's almost like speed dating for me, which I've never done, but
I don't know. I've heard
I can get into
different.
the thought process. I stumble across things, I bump into pieces of musical art in various eclectic ways. And like, for instance, get in my time machine for a moment, and we're going to go back to 1957. Okay. And there was a popular song sung by a little Latino boy singer. And the song was Mamacita, Donde dos Santa Claus? Oh, where is Santa Claus? It's Christmas Eve. All right. It's very popular on the radio, big hoot. I knew the kid because we were both at that time going to the same singing school in Manhattan. We crossed paths. We weren't buddies, but we were constantly crossing paths in this thing. But he had this big hit wonder. And it for several years it played at Christmas time, and then it vanished, like Gene Autry's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But
Okay.
it keeps coming back. I'm present day. I'm sitting in my office and I'm working away, and I take a break and I go on YouTube and I'm just letting some stuff go by. And there's a commercial for Amazon Boomer speakers, these cylindrical things, right? And I see a guy of color, and he seems to be on a ranch or a farm, and there's a couple of llamas in a stalls. And I'm thinking,
Oh,
what the hell
yeah,
is this?
I see that commercial.
Right? When he turns on the machine, the speaker, what comes out of it? But that
Ah,
song.
that's great.
So I'm going, oh, you're kidding. It is years later. And this guy's finally going to get some royalties for it.
That's fantastic. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that was a great fake foreshadowing and then plot twist. Alex Simmons announced he was going in the time machine, but the entire time he was in 2023. How about that?
But so again, this is how I come across things. So I've found music of recent over the past few months in particular. I'll catch a TV show or a movie of something. A couple of songs that I had not heard since the 70s came back, and they caught me at a right time and a right moment. I stumbled across online. Casey, you were talking about the Stones, right?
As I was.
Casey and the Sunshine Band did
Oh,
a live performance somewhere in the past 2 months, and there was a video of it. And I'm looking at Casey and I'm flashing back to what he looked like on a midnight special, you know, back in the 1970s. And now I'm looking at this guy who's maybe 40 pounds, 30 pounds heavier,
Well,
and
it's
he's still
Casey and
doing.
the Sunset Band now.
Yeah, well, he's still, oh, you're mean, but he's still doing his thing. He's still doing, I mean, I think A, it does speak to what you said about just create art. One considers what the Stones do or what Casey does or what Beethoven does or Yo-Ma does as art. It's all art, it's all creativity. And so you do that and you remain true to that. And you're going to find, as Casey did, because he was not performing to six or seven people, he was performing to hundreds of people.
God bless him. God bless
Okay.
him.
So you're going to find your niche, you're going to find your crowd, your gang, your community, your boys, your gals, whatever. Because there are going to be people going to love you for what you do or going to love the memories that you represent. So a lot of the songs and things that I've heard of recent have taken me back to great times and then some of them.
And then back to the future.
Yeah, thank you. And some of them have actually reaffirmed certain things like, I'm only human. You know, that song, was it 2 years now, 3 years that it came out? And I think it's his one big hit, but it still speaks the same truth. You know, and when I hear it, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, sometimes I'm having a hard day and I'm going, you know, I can't do this. I haven't done this. I haven't. Hey, you're only human. Boom.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah. So that's the way I see music. I see it as a salve. I see it as a form of entertainment. I see it as a form of meditation and relaxation. Sometimes, again, brings back some wonderful memories, sometimes some painful ones. But music is a spirit of its own, and it will affect you different ways. And I just think find the joy in it and experience the other things as best you can.
Beautiful. Let's go to TV.
Okay, I'll be back after an hour. No, oh, you
I
meant.
only have two, and it's very short. And they're two for very different reasons.
Okay.
Please, in the comments below, tell us what we missed. Tell us what, oh, this was must-see TV. Same thing with music. If you didn't hear this, play this, hear this song or this book. Da-da-da. We want to hear what was great for you. But for myself and Glorious, we have the most positive and then the most inspiring. Okay. So for us, the most positive TV show was we caught up to and then watched the last season of, there was only three seasons of it, Ted Lasso. And if you haven't experienced Ted Lasso, you should, because it at a time when there's way too much hate in the world, this is a show that consciously chooses love and consciously chooses
Unification.
patience
Unification.
and forgiveness. And it is thrilling to see that done so well. And I'll leave it at that. So there's one. The reason we found it inspiring, because the company who made it has been getting shat upon all year long. When their success, you get to a certain level of success and people love to tear you down. And I think this particular company has been getting occasionally missteps and stuff, but really have been getting the raw end of the deal and fury that is unearned. And that's Marvel Cinematic Universe. I liked a lot of the stuff that they put out, but I do see where any little shortcoming or anything that wasn't Endgame, they were going to destroy because it wasn't Endgame. That's ridiculous. Nothing's going to be Endgame. They're going to come up with something great for eventually, but it won't be that was that, and this will be this. And after a lot of stuff that people were able to destroy, Loki season two came. And taken together, both those series, after it finished, Glorious, I watched binged both seasons, and it's fascinating what Marvel can do with characterization and storytelling when it's working on all cylinders. For us, especially with the ending of Loki, which I think is the best ending, definitely since Endgame, but maybe one of the very best endings Marvel Cinematic Universe has ever offered up. It really filled us full of hope for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There were a lot of pressures, a lot of people pulling them in different directions, and man, really wanting more and more and more. Hopefully, those days are over and they can reset. And if this is any indication of the quality they are still capable of, I look forward to the future. So there you go. Those are my only two offerings for TV. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I turn to my esteemed partner and very good friend here, I am strapped in.
I'm gonna.
Because when you ask
Oh, geez.
about television to Alex Simmons, you have no idea what decade or century you're going to wind up in. So, welcome to Alex Simmons's time machine. Alex, what
Away.
were some of your favorite moments of TV this year?
Well, I'm
I'm
gonna.
getting ready for the G-Force.
I'm gonna. Well, we're gonna start off slow. We're gonna start off a little bit slow because you're old, and I don't want to hurt you. Yeah. But I want to tag off on the Marvel thing, and this is a commentary. This is an editorial comment. Okay, editorial comment.
Yes.
Does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of our sponsors or of even my buddy there.
Sponsors.
But here we go. Get a life, folks. Get a life.
Thank you, William Shatner.
We're talking about obsessive reactions, over the top reactions to media, to, in effect, entertainment media. And these overreactions speak to two things, one positive, one negative, in my opinion. The positive is, damn, they must have done their job pretty right to get you this involved. If you care this damn much about that material, which was a bunch of actors who got paid to run around in costumes for X number of weeks, months, whatever, then a bunch of special effects people who got paid to throw in all this magic, and then some folks who coordinated the distribution, the promotion, so forth and so on. They must have done their job fairly well. The negative of this is that you're forgetting we don't really control these things. If we don't like something, we don't necessarily have to hate it. We don't necessarily have to destroy it. We can actually not watch. What a concept. Not spend your money on it, right? If you have a bias about a race or a gender, don't watch.
Right.
Just
If you don't
don't.
like the show, don't buy a ticket.
Right, don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. But to vilify, you got too much time on your hands.
Yeah, and
Way too
it's
much
all
time on
ultimately
your hands.
dumb and boring.
Endgame, you mentioned Endgame, and I remember two things about Endgame. I remember several things, but two things I'll talk about. One, magnificently well done film.
Yes.
One of my favorite moments is Cap standing there solo on one side of the screen. And Thanos and his whole armada on the other side of the screen, and Cap fully knowing, as he has throughout his existence, this is a fight, and I gotta bring it. I gotta bring my A game. I probably have no chance, but I gotta do this because this is what I do. This is the right thing to do. If you wanna bring destruction and pain and death to other people, you gotta go through me.
Right.
And all he's doing is just standing there. Weary, battle-worn, bloodied, but bring it. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose and other heroes show up, and it's great. But that's my favorite moment. But as the fight ensues, Spider-Man, Cap, Thor, Iron Man, all of these people are getting Hawkeye, all of them getting bounced all over the place. They're taking some people down, they're taking some hits. It's all cool because they're fighting back. There is this giant space cruiser up there that all of these other things have come out of. This giant space cruiser. It's four times the size of the Empire State Building. It's Mount Everest up there in the sky. And it's firing down on them. And out of the galaxy comes this streak in human form who plows through this gigantic structure, this
couple of times.
Field empowered dreadnought of destruction.
Exactly.
Plows through it two or three times, takes it out. One individual. She took it out. And there was the griping on the web about how Marvel, Captain Marvel, couldn't do anything. She couldn't take Thanos. She couldn't. So, where the hell did you step out for popcorn? What the hell? What the woman? What you? What the hell?
The He-Man Woman Haters Club got to get
you
a
know?
Job.
And so, what I'll say about this is back in the day, back in the 1950s, when we watched our detective heroes or our cowboy heroes
do their thing,
it was all about watching these characters fight for right, truth, justice, protect the weak from the strong, the bullies, making good decisions that would theoretically help us grow up to be decent people, honorable people, ethical people. All right. We didn't rank on the Range Rider. We didn't rank on the Lone Ranger. We didn't rank on Roy Rogers. We didn't rank on Annie Oakley. Oh, well, some of them probably did on Annie because, hey, she's a girl. But she had her own show. She was shooting guns out of guys' hands. No, she couldn't take on a guy fisticuffs. She wasn't Black Widow. But don't go up against her with a gun. You ain't got a chance. And she's smart. She's also a sort of pseudo detective. So fine, she's doing her thing. And we had, these were our heroes. These were the role models that some of us looked to for some sort of guidance. Yes, definitely entertainment. And maybe for some to replace missing individuals in our family life. It was not about beating them down. It was about allowing what we saw them do to lift us up. And as I look at Endgame and some of the other Marvel accomplishments, and I'm not praising Marvel, I'm simply saying the company did some things. And when you look at their heroes, when you look at their characters, Black Widow, she's trying to redeem herself for all the dark things that she did. There's a lesson in that. There's something about trying to seek redemption, to trying to find a way of gaining forgiveness. The same thing with Winter Soldier, forgiveness.
Yeah.
Did some terrible things. Even though I was brainwashed into it, I have to live with the fact I did these things. I must make it right.
Right.
And these are the kinds of things that I would love for this massive, abusive audience to focus on.
Yeah.
Rather than the wants. And now, and then the last thing I'll say is in terms of the most impactful TV show that I've seen recently, which speaks to all of these things that I was just talking about, all of them, is Lawman, Bass Reeves.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, classic Western, but classic Western
with a twist,
with a Black protagonist coming out of slavery and into becoming a U.S. Marshal at a time when any white man with a rifle could have taken him out and never faced any criminal charges.
True. It's more than a passing reference
bigotry
to Black
and to stand up against bigotry and hatred and ignorance at that time.
Yeah.
And to stand up for the law. Whoa.
And that was what was so solid about the character, and it's really just, it's great to see it on TV.
Yeah.
And not enough pulp gets that transfer over. So,
well, and again, it's, I know there are people are going to contradict this, and fine, enjoy yourselves. It's based on material that speaks to supposedly true history. So in other words, there was a Black man named Bass Reeves who did some of these things. You let the entertainment world take some liberties in terms of how they set it up.
Sure.
They show. But they're supposedly basing it on some historical information.
Okay.
Can I believe that a black man did some of these things? Absolutely. No problem. Can some people believe that? No. Too bad. Doesn't
Bad
disavow
for them. Yeah.
it. And unfortunately, it's a through line from something like that to the Civil War to World War II and the Black Squadron to some of the things that we're dealing with now. There are folks that don't want to see it.
As recent as the last few days.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't want to see it, don't see it. But it's out there. To quote the X-File, the truth is out there. It's out there. And so television, like features, like the big screen, offers opportunities for, yes, entertainment, amusement, distraction, but it also offers options for enlightenment
Yep, true.
and a broader view of what our society has always been about. Although there's so many that have denied it, and that is that there's no skill that's governed only by one group or race or breed of people. We're all human beings, flawed, and I'd like to say angels and devils. We're all human beings, angels and devils. We're all capable of something, and given the opportunity to earn our place in a society, that will be proven. If you're going to get in the way of that's something else, and we have stories to deal with that as well.
Cool. What you have said allows us to segue to our last section, and then I have a pop quest culture question for you that it will be tied. You'll see a through line, ladies and gents. But we're going to talk about film.
Okay.
And I want to make an argument for all the haters. Glorious and I, our best day of film watching this year was. We did a double feature. We didn't Barbieheimer. We did Oppenheimer and then Barbie. Oppenheimer is a brilliantly made film. I'll never watch it a second time, but it's brilliantly made, affecting. It leaves you, when you're walking out, you're feeling
Something.
there's some feels, bro. Yeah, I have had to go for lunch or something, just try to relax. And it made me very grateful for Barbie, which is another example of film genius. Some of them are already freaking out. Oh my God, it's about a girl directed by a girl. Ah! Great filmmaking. And when that's on and I stumble across it, I will stay and watch it. However, there were three movies, tail end of last year, beginning of this year, that have been trashed. And I will watch them multiple times. As great as Barbie is, as stunning as Oppenheimer was, these three films I will watch much more often. And that is Black Panther 2, which was an amazing tale of grief and loss and emerged reality into this fantasy realm. I introduced one of the oldest and most enduring characters in the Marvel Pantheon in the Submariner, Namor, to great effect, and did the impossible, which was make a great Black Panther movie post Chadwick Boseman's loss or his passing. Hell with you. Anybody who bitches and moans about that, I'm sorry. We all have an opinion, so my opinion is you're wrong. Ant-Man's, I guess it was his third movie. Everyone gave that a hard time. I thought it was a romp. I thought it was so much fun, so inventive, so interesting. They had the Infinity Gems in there at a subatomic level, which is a reference to exactly what Thanos said about what he did with them. Kang was interesting. He, despite all the stuff that has happened with Jonathan Majors, he turned in an interesting performance there. People shoot it down and said he was killed by ants. He's Have a little perspective. They were giant at that point because fantasy, and there was millions of them, and they were highly developed, and there was also an opposing army again. Come on, there was a lot going on there. So to belittle it that way is embarrassing to you and your ridiculous hate on Marvel because they didn't just stop and live in a bubble that was Endgame. And then the Marvels. Now all the bad word of mouth there made this the first legitimate flop of Marvel Cinematic Universe. I went to see it twice with Glorious, and I will watch it multiple times because it's fun. It's fun. All three of the Marvel related characters were outstanding. The women were excellent performances. The supporting characters were hilariously fun. It was a really cool story, and it was baffling to me that people would spend that much energy on hating women. It's sad to me. Okay. You know what? I read, man, when comics were 20 cents a piece, I would read 25 a week. I would get a $5 bill, fill it up, 25 comics. Not all of them were ace memorial. I will remember this comic forever, but all of them were fun. The Marvels is a really fun movie, and it's on the road from where we were to where we're going. And boom. However, ladies and gentlemen, even with as much fun as I had, and that was my bar to have fun with those three movies, and if they touch me in the feels, that was even better. It wasn't my favorite movie. None of them were my favorite movie. Oppenheimer wasn't my favorite. Barbie wasn't my favorite. I am shocked by what my favorite movie of the year was. Godzilla Minus One.
I've been hearing good things about that.
It was what you can do with a superhero movie. It was what you can do with a monster movie. It was how far you can go with a popcorn movie. And it was done for a fraction of the price that is spent on all these other big budget movies. It is really, I think, not only is it a great piece of entertainment that will stick with you, that has heart, mind, and soul besides visceral thrills on screen, but it has the potential to change the movie business because they're hurting. They're not getting as many people in as they used to. This movie shows how they can do it for less money and how they can do it well. And you know how they did it, Alex? You know how they did it, right?
I haven't seen it.
They followed Tell the Damn Story. They served
Ah,
the
oh,
story.
well, of course. When are we getting our check?
Alex, this is a movie. That's right. We should get a little check. Cut the check. If you haven't seen it and you get a chance to see it, sit back, get your beverage of choice, get your snack or your popcorn of choice.
Raisinets.
And you know what? Raisinets is fine. And just let them tell you their tale. And that's the way I think you should always go to a book, go to a song, go to a piece of art, go to a film.
Yeah.
So you talked about film a lot. If you have more to say, fine. If not, I have a pop culture question related to films that we can go to. So your choice, sir.
Oh, go for
All
it.
right. This is Marvel related.
Okay.
Okay, this week, Jonathan Majors was found guilty of some charges, and God bless him. I wish him the well with appeal or whatever he has to do. I thought his performances in the films I saw him in, many podcasts and YouTube shows are wrestling now with what to do because maybe it was in somewhere between 1 and 5 hours after the conviction was issued. Marvel officially put out word that they had dropped Jonathan Majors' contract. I'm sorry for coughing. It just won't go away. The question I have for you, and let's see where it goes, is Alex Simmons, you have been blessed or damned. You wake you up as an executive in the Marvel Cinematic Universe offices, and you're at the end of a long executive table, and everyone has turned to you. Thank God you're not in your underwear. And they have said, Mr. Simmons, we need your answer. Do we recast or do we abandon Kang the Conqueror?
They're serious with that question.
I'm serious with that question.
Okay.
What do you do?
I my
Because
immediate
they have fired Jonathan Majors.
right.
What do you do?
My response to that is based on umpteen years of film watching and a history of iconic characters that have been portrayed on film over decades with, dare I say it, different actors. Yes.
Oh, God.
So, if I think about Charlie Chan, if I think about The Saint, if I think about Superman or Batman, I would say, when's the casting call?
Yeah.
When are we gonna, who are we thinking about? What guys are gonna be coming in? Have we talked to their agents already?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me this? You should be already setting up the auditions.
Yeah.
That's,
Marvel has done that successfully a couple of times.
yeah.
I would too. I would also make sure, and this would be Feige's job, make sure that the upcoming scripts that involve Kang serve the story that is Kang and the quality that people love to hate Kang. So make sure we love to hate him.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what is the mindset behind almost surgically attaching a particular actor with a particular character, fictional character. I understand when it happens out of love and appreciation for their work, but I don't feel like it's a thing carved in stone. And must never ever. For instance, the TV series, a British TV series called Morse, very successful over several years. And then at a certain point, and I don't know whether it was because of what happened with the actor or not, but at a certain point, they decided to end the series. And so they killed the character in the series, in the TV series,
No.
which did happen in the book. And then within a few months, the actor died.
Wow.
Right. And yeah, they could have decided, oh, the first series was so successful. Let's do a bunch more, but just get in a different actor. And instead, what they did was they created a prequel series where the character is younger and is going by his first name rather than his last name. He's trying to get people to call him by his last name. All right. But that's fine. They also took the sergeant who worked with Morse and they gave him his own series. And we followed his adventures. So there are different ways of continuing a storyline that has built up an audience or a community of followers
Right.
and appeasing that Jones. Chadwick, I think, yeah, wow, his performance of that character, the Black Panther, was primo. And I'm sorry he's gone in real life. I really am. But I would not be offended if and when they recast,
Right.
because the character needs to live on for other
Right.
stories in the sake of telling those stories.
Well, Black Panther 2 was an interesting story, and bravo for making such a good film about that particular situation. But with all due respect to Chadwick Boseman, there was so much more T'Challa to tell.
Yeah.
I would have recast. And I think Chadwick Boseman would have wanted it to be recast as well.
And I think that we are in a position now, and again, this is for the haters. You don't need to spend any time hating on this. You just don't. Because literally, A, the film's been made, it's made its money, so deal with it. You ain't getting a cut. And secondly, it does not end the possibility or probability that they will recast and will do other Black Panther films. And we have some say in that in terms of the fans. If you keep calling for it, they'll hear you. I don't
Right.
know if they'll act, but they'll hear you at least. But other than that, the decision is going to get made at some point and things will move forward.
I think, and if you see that final scene in Black Panther, they sowed the seeds
Yeah,
for
literally.
it. It could go either way,
Yeah,
and we'll see where that goes.
absolutely.
So I think recasting makes sense. It is not Marvel's fault that Jonathan Majors is involved in this situation. One doesn't have anything to do with the other. It's not Marvel's decision whether to convict or not. That's got nothing to do with them. Like when William Hurt died, had nothing to do with Marvel. They recast him as Harrison Ford. Okay. Recasting Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle, that was a money thing before Marvel was the mountain of gold that it became. And I think they had overserved the contract. It was a very lucrative contract for Terrence Howard. And I really think I think they wanted to get out of that contract. And that's a business decision. Less respectful to Terrence Howard, but he landed on his feet. He did pretty well. And we didn't miss a beat with Don Cheadle. He was very good and continues to be. So yeah, I would, if the scripts are strong and right, Marvel never used to worry about what was being said publicly. I worry that they are.
That's a brave new world.
Yeah, I think they're worried too much about what other things say. I also think they have to look at how they can budget these with some kind of sanity. You
Well,
know?
let us also keep in mind that as this is our last episode for this year, are we looking forward to more things coming in the future, and whether it's Marvel or DC or Warner Brothers or independent.
Sorry.
We're both here clearing our throats for
Yeah.
you. Yeah.
I actually think the answer to all of Marvel's problems might possibly be the upcoming multiverse Deadpool movie because Ryan Reynolds is going to be irreverent and fun about all of it. And I think that just might be what we need to lighten up a bit. It'd be really interesting to see Wolverine again. And I think him having to deal with a Deadpool will be really fascinating. But it might be exactly the reset we need. And I would hope they take the time. There's two things I would hope. First thing, I would hope that they let Feige out of the guy who runs the entire studio. They never gave Alfred Hitchcock a studio head position. They let Hitch be Hitch. And Feige has a very specific skill set that was the contributing factor to a lot of the Marvel success through the first three phases. And I think it was a combination of some other people spinning out of control, Feige ha being spread too thin. And then once things start getting exciting, the people up above, they want to put their thumbprints on it. I think all of that is starting to get sorted out. And I'm hoping that the end of Loki 2 showed us, they've got their eye back on story. I would hope Deadpool does the kind of palate cleansing with laughter that it might be able to do while Feige, and hopefully he has gotten talent around him again, looks at what they have. Okay, now the Jonathan Majors thing is settled. Makes the decision he has to make or they have to make. Look at the scripts and how does this one build on this one, build on this one? To Avengers 5 and whatever they want to do. Just take a breath. Even if you take most of 2024 to get that together. I know that Captain America is supposed to come out. I don't care if they put everything off for a while, get their stuff together. Just get back to
On track.
serving the story and tell us great stories. That's all we want.
I will do one more thing before we say arrivederci. 2023,
And a river dirty to you.
it's been an interesting year and a lot of highs and lows. And 2024 is ahead of us, as each new year is. And we can look back on things and either pat ourselves on the back or curse ourselves out, whichever way we want to go with it. I would say that in terms of films, storytelling, appreciation of loss and gains, that all of us need to take a look at ourselves and get a grip on if we're pissed off and we're really churned up and we're really feeling negative about so much, we need to take a breath. We need to step back. We need to get centered again. We need to get leveled out. We need to start looking at what's real and what's a real priority and where our joy is, where our personal joys really are. I don't think our personal joy should be based on Marvel's next movie. I don't think our personal joy should be based on what political figure winds up in what position, although, yeah, it has some impact. But the realities are there's the things we can affect and there's the things we can't. And if we're not putting some more space and time into looking at the quality of life that we can give ourselves in, as individuals and maybe as family members, then everything else is just noise. Everything else is just so much noise, so much things beyond our control, and so many more things to get frustrated about. And to bring it into a storytelling thing, you mentioned this several episodes ago, that one of the reasons that people went negatively on the Indiana Jones movie, this last one with Harrison Ford, is because he's not their hero. He's an old man now, and they couldn't connect to that. And maybe that's true. I don't think it's a reason to hate it. I don't think it's a reason to disrespect it. I think it's a reason not to go see it. If that's not your hero, or if you don't want to see something about an 80-year-old dude trying to be a hero, fine, don't go. Got plenty of other material to choose from. But if you
But
feel,
then don't spend weeks and weeks
right,
bitching
but
about
this is what I'm saying. If you're gonna
it.
go see it and then spend hours, days going
Wow.
off on it, then there's something seriously wrong. You are focused on something for some reason that does not compute.
Right.
And we, I don't mean just them, I mean we all need to get in check and figure out, okay, what am I pissed off about? Because it's not that stuff. Harrison Ford's bank account does not affect you. And so,
Life's too short for that much hate,
right,
ladies and gentlemen.
I would say
Go
that
find your joy.
if we don't learn anything else out of 2023, I would hope that we would learn that, yeah, we can be triggered, and that's not cool. We're not pistols. We should not be easily triggered. We should be able to count our blessings, and we do have some. We do have some. And those who have less, I'm sorry, and maybe we can lend a hand in some way, shape, or form. Maybe we can help somebody up. Maybe that will bless us in helping someone else. But I would really like us to focus more on being a hero as opposed to watching others play at being heroes. Try to be a better person. Really try. It serves you, it serves your family. Certainly, if you have children, it serves them. And then maybe as a society, we can deal with some of the other things that are going on with a kinder heart.
Said. And with that, raise of toast to
Huh.
whatever you're comfortable drinking.
Yes.
And here, ladies and
Cold coffee
gentlemen,
there.
is to survive in 23. And hoping to survive 24.
Hear,
Happy
hear.
New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Wonderful New Year to you all.
Enjoy. Be
Chris.
safe. We want to see you in the next film. Peace
Absolutely.
to
Take
you,
care.
my brother.
Oh,
Woo, look
yeah,
at
wait, here we go. Let me see if I make this work.
you.
There we go.
Look at that. That's got more moves than X-Lats. All right, everybody. Peace.
Take care.
Take
Bye-bye.
care. Bye-bye.